You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
The Labour Party have announced a new immigration policy which they say will reduce the pressure on our cities while ensuring we get the skilled workers our country needs. The policy will target mainly students in low-level education courses who attempt to remain in New Zealand following their study. Labour says the policy will see net migration decrease to 20,000 to 30,000 people per year in what they are labelling a breather on immigration. Earlier, I spoke to Andrew Little about the new policy, and I began by asking him what the nuts and bolts of the policy are.
Main things are we're looking at reducing total immigration numbers by between 20 and 30,000. We're going to achieve that reduction in two principal areas, one in the terms of the student visas that are issued, and particularly where it comes to the, you know, the work, the entitlement to work that gets attached to them. And secondly, in work visas, particularly kind of at the low skilled end of some of the visas being issued. So, for example, last year we issued 100 work visas to people from overseas to come and be shelf stackers here at a time when we have got 90,000 young people out of work. So I'm just thinking that tightening up some of the rules on that, we wouldn't have issued that those 100 work visas for shelf stackers.
You're also targeting students in low-value education courses below degree levels, such as food, hospitality, etc. Why are you targeting these areas in particular?
What we've seen has been a massive, rapid increase in enrolments in those sorts of courses, and therefore the visas that get issued with them, the student visas. And of course, attached to that student visa is the ability to work 20 hours a week, and then for others the rights to have a year of work, whether or not it's related to your course after that. And what has become apparent is that for some students, at least, the study is the least important part of it. It is getting the work, and that's not what it was about. We issue student visas for people to come and do courses that are reputable, that are about learning something. So we think we need to, in fact, what we will do is get the Tertiary Education Commission and the New Zealand Qualifications Authority to just have a look at those courses and see whether there is a genuine kind of educational learning element to them. If it is just about getting a work visa, then we'll be putting into those courses.
What sorts of pressures are being caused by our current rates of immigration?
Well, we're seeing, I mean, Auckland is a classic example. We've had, you know, the equivalent of a city the size of Tauranga basically locate into Auckland in the last 4 years, so 130,000 people. That's putting huge pressure, certainly on traffic and transport. We already have a chronic housing shortage, and of course that gets worse when you add so many people so quickly. And we're getting overcrowded schools, we're getting other public services that are under huge pressure. It's no longer just an Auckland problem anymore. You're seeing these things in Hamilton and Tauranga as well. It's just the thing about when you increase the population so rapidly and you haven't planned or prepared for it, you put huge pressure on cities. And that's what's happening now, and that's what we need to alleviate.
Your main focus of this is also going to be addressing the infrastructure pressures relating to immigration levels. What will you be doing here?
So we've already been pretty clear about our policy about building more houses. So our Kiwi Built policy is 100,000 affordable homes over 10 years. We've already made a commitment in terms of light rail and public transport, certainly down to Dominion Road and in other parts of the country, other big cities in the country. But we'll have some more specific announcements about specific projects that we have in mind that will, infrastructure projects that will make a huge difference in terms of, you know, things like traffic congestion in cities like Auckland.
What is your response to some of the criticism that economic growth will stall if you reduce immigration to such an extent?
You know, when you look at issuing work visas for people to come here and be shelf stackers or to be retail supervisors, those sorts of things, actually, that's not adding to our economic growth. Not when we're also got 90,000 young people out of work. So it's about getting those things in better balance. It won't have an effect on economic growth at all. Economic growth is a product of, you know, genuine investment and things that generate jobs and generate other wealth. That's what we have to be focused on. We've got an economic policy that does that. But making these changes to immigration will have benefits in terms of, you know, alleviating the pressure and getting a focus when it comes to education on things that are going to genuinely make a difference when it comes to getting new skills.
Will your reduction rate in immigration numbers be a permanent reduction, or will you perhaps raise this rate again once some of the issues have been addressed?
The thing about immigration is it ought to be about, you know, filling gaps that we actually have, genuine gaps that we actually have. So, I mean, I've been very clear, you don't want to put a limit on, say, we can only, you know, take this number. If there are genuine skills gaps or gaps of whatever other nature, and we just cannot fill those gaps from within New Zealand, then, you know, we do have to look offshore to do that. Right now, we do have to reduce immigration numbers because of the huge pressure on cities, because we just have these constraints. We alleviate those constraints, and if there are still shortages and other things, well, then let's have a look at it then. Immigration is something you do need to review periodically to see whether you got the numbers right and applying the rules right, and we should always be doing that. So I guess the short answer is I don't have a specific number about it in mind, except that right now we have to reduce that number while we take a bit of time to catch up.
And just finally, are you confident your policy change can be successful?
I'm totally confident it can be. When I look at the, as I say, some of the visas that are being issued and the way the work test is being applied, it is frankly ridiculous. And we do have to make that change. And I think, you know, people sitting in traffic, stuck in traffic for hours a day, you know, as they're trying to get to work or go about their business, you know, they want something different. And yet, they want the public transport and they want those other things, building the infrastructure. But we have a short-term problem right now that we can fix, which is that we just get too many people coming here under visas, and we can, you know, we can and we will deal with it.
Iridangi Po, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was Labour leader Andrew Little talking about the party's new immigration policy. I also spoke to political commentator Bryce Edwards to get his reaction on the new policy, and also whether Labour should look to Jeremy Corbyn as a blueprint for their election campaign later in the year. What do you make of this policy announcement from Labour? Is it a brave move, do you think?
I think Labour's new move probably does scratch the right itches. We've been waiting a long time, a few months now, for Labour to come out with this immigration policy, and they've really built it up by announcing that they might be wanting to slash immigration by maybe up to 50,000 people each year. This policy is looking more about 20 to 30,000. So it's looking a bit more moderate than initially we were led to believe. And I think people will probably, a lot of people will be sympathetic to it. They'll see it as not as kind of radical and maybe extreme as Winston Peters, New Zealand First, you know, slash and burn immigration figures, but a bit more proactive than Nationals, more gentle immigration cutbacks. So obviously immigration is going to be a big issue at this election, and people are concerned about a lot of related issues, housing, inequality, unemployment, and I think Labour is signalling, therefore, that they are wanting to deal with those issues, and most people, or a lot of people, I think, will be sympathetic to that. I mean, it does create lots of other issues, but I guess we can talk about those as well.
Who are they trying to appeal to with this move?
I think mostly people in Auckland that are worried about housing affordability, infrastructure issues, you know, transport, and so forth. And yeah, I think that's a huge issue. They're probably concerned with a lot of their own traditional base, working people who are struggling, you know, with employment and houses, and they obviously are blaming immigrants because we have had record immigration. And whether people really do believe that this will solve any of those issues is another point, but I do think people will see this as some attempt to deal with these issues. I mean, it's going to bring up a lot of questions about whether is, you know, kind of just populist politics, and whether it's race baiting, and whether it's, yeah, opportunism. Mm. And Labour really has to deal with that. I'm not sure how well they're going to deal with it. In the past, of course, they've been accused of their Chinese sounding names campaign, which just went so badly for Labour. They seem to have learned a bit from that, and they are being a bit more careful in how they put this policy across. And so I think they're a bit more immune from some of that, those arguments. But nonetheless, I think there is a bit of that involved in this policy. Labour just sees that people want to blame immigrants, and therefore they've constructed a policy which kind of does blame immigrants a bit, really. Mm. Certainly with the more liberal audience that is in favour of, you know, immigration, this is dangerous territory for Labour. And it's like I said, I think they might be able to navigate it because they're not slashing and burning as much as Winston Peters. Mm. But it's a bit more moderate than they were initially led to believe.
Is this a vote getter for them, do you think?
Yeah, I think it probably is. And I think that's probably why this policy has been created, because there is that that desire to reduce immigration. I mean, whether it's actually going to cause or, you know, come up with the solution of reducing housing prices and creating more jobs, etc. I'm not sure people are going to believe that. So once there's a bit more of a, I don't know, in-depth conversation, some people might turn away from believing in this policy. And I do think we're going to have more of an in-depth conversation that won't just be about let's cut and burn immigration numbers.
One person who seems to be happy about the policy, as you've mentioned, is Winston Peters. He tweeted yesterday, "Congratulations to New Zealand Labour for putting New Zealand first." Should he be worried about losing votes?
Oh, wasn't that funny? and he even in those tweets kind of in a mock way suggested Labour were being xenophobic. And of course, he doesn't really mean that. He's just teasing them because he's been called xenophobic for years on his immigration policies. New Zealand First, you know, are pretending to be happy about this, but they'll be concerned that Labour is coming in on their territory. But I'm not sure, actually, because in some ways, if you're really anti-immigration, this latest policy from Labour doesn't entirely scratch that itch. Because it's a bit more moderate than we were expecting. And if you're after the real deal, I think, you know, this gives New Zealand First a bit more oxygen, actually. It kind of, in some ways, legitimises their more stronger anti-immigration stance. So in the end, I think this might actually help New Zealand First. It might actually give them a bit more legitimacy, and it creates a bit more debate about immigration, which is perfect for Winston Peters.
Meanwhile, of course, in the UK, we've just had the snap election and the relative success of Jeremy Corbyn. Do you think New Zealand Labour can learn anything from Corbyn?
I don't know if they can, to be honest. I mean, I've written an article, you know, talking about how this is bad news for Labour in the sense that it highlights how inadequate New Zealand Labour is. And that's because, of course, the Corbyn British Labour Party is much more radical. It's been successful because it's been able to engage voters. It's been able to stand out as being a bit more anti-establishment, a bit more of an alternative to the status quo. But I'm just not sure that New Zealand Labour are going to be able to, you know, just suddenly change direction and be more authentic, be more socialist, be more radical, because I just don't think that's what Andrew Little and Grant Robertson are about. They, you know, they've already set their course in a fairly centrist direction, no, left of centre definitely, but not kind of radically to the left. And for them to suddenly turn around and try and be like Jeremy Corbyn would be seen as quite fake, I think. You can't really fake authenticity, I don't think, you know. So maybe there are some lessons there, but I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, suddenly change direction. So no, probably not.
Do you think this is bad news then for Labour? I mean, you mentioned in your article their inauthenticity and how they've moved more to embracing the establishment, I guess.
I think I'm always starting to feel a bit sorry for Labour because they are being shown up at the moment. You know, throughout the world, we're seeing a revival of radicalism, of kind of populism of both left and right sorts, and it has this effect of making New Zealand politics seem quite mild and boring. And of course Labour in particular is seeming quite mild and boring, and you know, they're going to have a lot of trouble rallying the troops and getting people enthusiastic when people are looking at what's happening in other parts of the world and thinking, why can't we have that? Why can't we have a New Zealand Corbyn? Why can't we have politicians that really say what they think, even if it might cause them to drop in the polls and things like that? So, yeah, Labour's, I think all the politicians in New Zealand are struggling at the moment, and it sort of explains why the election year campaign hasn't really taken off yet, because people look at, you know, Trump and Corbyn and everything else happening in the world and look at New Zealand politics, and it seems quite mild and unsatisfying in that respect.
Can anyone explain why the modern day Wales are so big?
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.